turn to the book of Lamentations as we just have a few moments to get familiar with each other. I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to meet us. It's been quite a few years since we were here, and it is an honor to be again here in Morgan Hill and Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. I want to say thank you on behalf of my family, on behalf of our church in Timisoara, for your faithful prayers and support. It's been a great help to us. When we were able to buy that van several years ago, it was definitely a need. We had people coming from another part of the city that we could not get there, and a vehicle had broken down, and your pastor, this church sent some help to be able to purchase that vehicle, and now God's turned it into something that even Brother Dan can drive because it's an automatic transmission, the one that I have. And he would say, we need another one, but I'm praise the Lord. Let me tell you that traveling with Brother Dan Gavra is a blessing. I have never laughed so much in all my life. We enjoy each other's company. He's got a great sense of humor. He says, as he has been here, he's never eaten so much in his life. He says he learned a word here in English. Eat, 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 eat. That's the main word he's learned. And just last week, and he knows this is funny, so you can laugh at this one. He said, pushing away from the table, I can't eat anymore. I said, Brother Dan, if you had another leg, you could eat some more. And he just thought that was funny. We enjoy each other's company, and Brother Dan is a blessing to me. He's a blessing to our church. But I'll be honest with you, last December, my pastor, Dr. Paul Chappell, came to do a spiritual leadership conference in Romania. Picked him up in Budapest. We're driving toward Timisoara, and he said, Brother Tyler, I was wondering, have you heard the story about a young man who lost his leg in the revolution? His name was Dan, I think, and he lit the first candle of the revolution. I said, I have a Dan in my church who lost his leg in the revolution, but I have no idea about this candle thing. And it truly was my Dan, because he found the illustration in a book and showed me the name. It was Dan Gavra. I didn't know that. He was hiding that story from me all these years. That's the kind of man he is. He wasn't pushing his story on anybody. It was just something that truly God used to change his world, change his country, and truly have a testimony even today. I want to invite you to go to Lamentations chapter 3, because Jeremiah was in a situation that maybe we would like to say we understand a little bit today. We understand as we look at our world around us that all the judgment and all the wickedness and all the abomination that's going on, it almost feels like as being Christians, we're the ones that are being targeted. We're being the ones that are being accused of being the fools, of being the ones that are doing the wrong things, that what we believe and hold to is somehow absurd, and yet it is the truth. And it's almost like we're the target. It's almost like somebody put a big bullseye on us and they're aiming at us. Anything that happens that we try to do for the glory of God is considered a mockery. That which is wicked is exalted, and that which is righteous is put down. And that's what Jesus said would happen in the last days, isn't it? But Jeremiah was in a situation like Dan was some 20-some years ago, 24 years ago, a situation in which looking at his world around him, knowing that this isn't what they're telling us it is, this isn't the truth, and what they were hearing on the radio and what they were seeing on television broadcasts that had to be watched secretly, that there was something happening in the rest of Europe that was coming their way. And I've learned so much just by following him around as the film crew came and made the video. I listened to him share a few points and things as we went to different places. This happened there, this happened there. It put all things in a better perspective for me. And it does sadden my heart that many of the Romanians don't even understand what God has done in their country. They don't grasp the power in which God worked in that time in history. And it's sad to say in America it's true as well. We don't remember what happened 200 and some years ago. We don't really appreciate all that God is doing today. We have a difficult time looking through the fog of the media and finding the truth of God's hand of mercy. I want you to see Jeremiah said this in verse number 12. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. Do you ever feel like that? You ever feel like God is the one who's holding the bow and the arrow and it's aiming right at you? Lord, I'm on your side. Did you forget that? Lord, I'm here for you. I'm trying to serve you. Why am I the one that's being accused by my coworkers? Why am I the one that's being caught when I happen to go 2 miles over the speed limit? Lord, you know, whatever it might be. the excuses and the reasons in our minds, why me? But Jeremiah had a lot worse than that. Of course, there was a lot of circumstances in his country that made his heart grieve. But he said, he hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins, into my soul. You know, God works in our lives through various circumstances to let things touch our lives. He allows crisis. He allows disease. He allows something totally unexpected. And yet, in God's mercy, he works through this to touch our hearts. If he can get a hold of our hearts and teach us to trust him, there is no limit to what he can do. I can't imagine what it is like for my friend, Brother Dan, to look back 24 years and see God's hand. But it's got to be a wonderful experience to know that through all the terror, through all the confusion, through all the pain, through all the suffering, it's God's mercy that worked. And to be able to tell the story once again, it still brings tears to his eyes. And it brings tears to my eyes. It causes me to say, God, you want to do this again. You want to do that in our lives. You want us to have boldness and courage as we serve you. But sometimes we feel like Jeremiah in verse number 17, he says, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. Verse 18, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Have you ever been so discouraged? Day by day, looking at circumstances, looking at trials, and saying, Lord, when's it going to get better? When are things going to change? When's our nation going to be, when's there going to be revival? When is there going to be a change in the world around us? Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Consider Jeremiah is describing something that our own Savior experienced. The wormwood and the gall, the taste of bitterness. As the soldiers raised up that sponge with vinegar mixed with gall to try to deaden the pain, he didn't want to take it. He only tasted it and said, nope, I'm here for the bitterness of sin. I'm here to suffer for man who sinned against me, but I love him and Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And in his grace and mercy, he gave his life on the cross that we might be saved. Jeremiah thinks he's suffering. Jeremiah is sure that God has forgotten him, that God has something with him, that God has something against him. But then I want you to see verse 21. And when Jeremiah lifts up his eyes to the Lord, something happens, and he begins to give us three things that help us to have revival in our lives. The first thing he says is in verse number 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jeremiah says, I can encourage myself with one truth. God's mercies fail not. I can encourage myself with one confident, continual position. God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not fail. The faithfulness of God is that which brings us hope. I can hope in this thing, he says in verse number 21. Remember the faithfulness of God. Remember in your mind the faithfulness of God. Look back in your life. Did you suffer some things? Did you go through some trials? Did God bring you through? God is faithful. Did God meet a need in your life that you thought for sure was impossible? God is faithful. Did God allow you to go through a terrible trial and maybe not bring you the relief that you had expected or had hoped for? But yet through it, you see his greater hand of mercy, that he taught you something and even uses that experience to move others. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says to the church in Corinth that your sufferings are given to you that you might be comforted of God so that you can comfort others who will go through the same trial. Knowing that God uses even the negative, terrible things in our lives for a good purpose brings hope. Remember the faithfulness of God. As I look back as the years in Wyoming as I pastored there, God did some miraculous things there in my life personally. But when he called us to go to Romania, I was thinking, this is big, Lord. We have 5 children, all born here. The house is paid for. The church is growing. My wife, I've got to tell her this and she's not going to be real excited. I waited about a month. I was a chicken, okay? Prayed about it. Finally, I went to her, and I took her hands in mine. I said, honey, I need to tell you what God's been telling me. I believe he's calling us to Romania as missionaries. And she dropped my hands and stepped back, and I thought, oh, no, here it comes. And she said, 2 weeks ago, God told me that very thing, and I've just been waiting for you to tell me. Praise the Lord. God is faithful. He knows what he's doing. But why then? Why not earlier when we were young and stupid? Why not? Was it when I thought things were going great? Property was paid for. We're getting ready to build a building. The church was well organized and the deacons were deaconing and everything was happening as it should. Why now, Lord? Because God had a plan. He knew that in Romania there need to be some men who have experience in the pastorate, because there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of confusion about doctrine. There's a lot of ecumenical activity between denominations. And many things are compromised in the name of Christianity. We went into Timisoara. We didn't ask permission from anyone. The Lord gave us permission and started a church that God is blessing. And when Dan's family came in, his daughters and his wife came in, to be honest, he was home sulking some wounds that he had received in another church. But his family were encouraged, were strengthened, and went home saying, this is where we want to be. He finally came to check me out. And when he saw that we love him and we love his family, he said, this is where I want to be. And I praise God that he's become a key person in our ministry there. God has the ability to turn our darkness and our fears into hope and joy. He has the ability to show us that he is faithful. We just have to look a little further than what our eyes can see. We have to trust a little more than we can understand. I want you to turn and keep your finger there and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23. This is Brother Dan's favorite verse, he says, and he writes it when he signs a Bible. And I just thought I would share it because it's in my notes as well for this point. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Do you know why God's doing what he's doing in your life? Probably not. Just trust him. If you can't see his hand, trust his heart. If you don't know where he's taking you, don't be afraid. Don't hold back. Don't run away. Just say, Lord, okay, I don't know, but hold my hand, will you? Show me the way. Let me take one step at a time. He'll never lead you on a long journey until you learn to walk with him step by step. He'll never take you to a foreign field, and maybe you don't want him to. But if you will trust him, he has greater plans for your life than you could ever imagine. He knows what he wants for you. My father was in the Navy, and he had spent 8 years in the Navy, and during that time, he lived in Jacksonville, Florida. My wife and I was just his wife and my mother, of course, and I was just a baby. And there, they dedicated me to the Lord in a little church in Jacksonville, Florida. But some 40 years later, 39 years later, I was in BIMI at the approval process for missionaries to go to Romania. And as we stood before the board of the pastors who make up the BIMI board, the first man to introduce himself was Brother McMillan from Jacksonville, Florida. Now, I called my dad right after that meeting. I said, Dad, what was the name of the pastor in Jacksonville who dedicated me to the Lord? He said, it's Brother McMillan. I said, Dad, he's on the board here. Did you know that? No. So I went back in the meeting. It's my turn to give my testimony. I said, before I say anything, I want to say God is good. I never knew this because I was too little to know it. But my parents made a dedication of their lives to raise me for the glory of God. And now the man who was the pastor at the time is on the board approving me to go to Romania as a missionary. Oh, that's just a little thing, preacher. Just circumstances. There are too many circumstances in my life to be circumstances. God knew exactly what he was doing. My friend, don't be afraid to just trust him. But you must trust him. He does not accept those who will not trust him. He will not work in your life if you're not willing to put it all in his hands. He will wait till you finally understand you can't do it without Him. Remember the faithfulness of God. Look back in your life. Say, Lord, I see maybe not every detail how you've done in my life, but I know that you've been faithful. They are new every morning, it says in verse number 23. In Psalm 68, verse number 19, we find that God gives us every day the mercies that we need. Let me look that up so that I'm not just misquoting it or paraphrasing it. We don't do that as Independent Baptists. Amen. 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. If nothing else, the fact that we wake up, we can breathe, we can go forth and work or do whatever God calls us to do. If we have a hindrance, we have a physical ailment, we have some other problem in our lives, it's still God who gives us that day to serve Him. We can make the decision. What's my attitude going to be? Am I going to thank Him for it and do my best so I can put my head to the pillow at night and say, Lord, it's for you that I've lived this day? Or are you going to fight Him all day long? Are you going to argue with Him? It could be better. You could be driving a nicer car. You could be living in a better neighborhood. You could have more of an income or more of a retirement. God knows what you need. And your best plan is His plan, if you trust Him. Remember the faithfulness of God. Then secondly, renew confidence in the goodness of God. Look back in Lamentations chapter 3 in verses 24 and 25. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. Renew your confidence in the goodness of God. If He's been faithful, and He has. If He's never failed you, and He never has. If you think He has, you need to look at it a little closer. He has a purpose. All things work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And He has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the part we don't read. We like verse 28, but we skip verse 29. But it's the purpose in our lives, the good and the bad that work in our lives, is to conform us to the image of Christ. So if something in our lives doesn't look like Jesus, what does He do? He cuts it out. And sometimes it's painful. Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes it's not on our agenda. But He knows what Jesus looks like. He knows what He should be like in our lives. And the things that are not like Christ, He's going to remove them. And it may be painful. But I have a secret for you. It's only as painful as you make it. The more you cooperate with the Lord, the more you say, Lord, I trust You and I know You have a purpose and a plan. Do what You want. It'll be that much easier, that much easier. In Romania, we have lots of people are dentists. I'm not sure that they've all earned their doctorate for being dentists, but many of them practice it anyway. Just before I came home in 2008 for Darcy's wedding, Darcy and Derek's wedding, I had to go to the dentist to get a crown put on. The dentist assistant, who was a graduate student, just doing her internship kind of thing, was the one assigned to me to help me with this crown. I thought this was just a simple question. I'd never had a crown done, so I didn't know what to expect. She said, we don't always give anesthesia, but if you'd like it, I can get it for you. I said, no, I can handle it. This little girl is grinding on the tooth in my mouth, and I think I'm going to crawl out of the chair. And that pain was something I had never experienced. And I don't want to experience again, by the way. But it's because I had not been anticipating what was going to happen. Some things happen in our lives, and we have a resistance to it, and it's more painful because of the fact that we don't prepare. How do you prepare your heart? The Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:9-11. Let God's word prepare you daily as you walk with Him. And as He takes you in those steps, you'll see with confidence that the goodness of God will be fulfilled in you. He has a plan. He has a purpose. But thirdly, you see tonight, in verses 26 and 27, it says this: "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." Not only do we need to remember the faithfulness of God and renew our confidence in the goodness of God, we must resolve to wait for God and to work. We must resolve to wait for God and to work. So, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Be faithful. Pastor, I don't know which direction God's going to work in my life or wants me to do. Do what you know to do. Be faithful. Why is it that when we go through a trial, the first thing we set aside is our Bible reading? Why is it that when we are stressed about a job transfer, a concern in our home life, a concern in our economy, that we tend to pull away from the things of God as if we can handle it on our own, when that's where we should be running to, when we should be falling on our faces before Him and trusting Him? Resolve to wait for God, but keep working. Keep working. Let God use your life to be an encouragement to others. The Word of God tells us in the book of Revelation, in the last chapter, "Occupy till I come." That means keep busy. Keep at it. Don't quit. Don't look for an excuse. Don't look to let somebody else take the reins. The elderly in our church, I try to remind them, folks, listen, don't think that because we have some young people in our church, that means you can just not participate anymore. That doesn't mean that you give your job over to them. They need you. They need to see you active. They need to see your encouragement, your prayers, and your enthusiasm. Obviously, they've got more energy. Just give them the harder jobs. But many times we look around us and say, well, it's time for me to take a break. It's time for me to back up a little bit. It's time for me to relax. There's no time to relax. The devil does not relax. The enemy does not hold back. He's putting everything he can. He's looking for every avenue possible. Your pastor is one of his main targets. Your pastor is going to come under fire more than you can even imagine. It may not be a something clearly viewed, but it may be a spiritual warfare that I know goes on in his heart because it goes on in my heart. There's loneliness, there is difficulty in the ministry that nobody knows about. I praise God for my wife. I praise God for my family. All five children came with us to Romania, and all five children are still serving the Lord. Only two are with us, but the other three are married and blessing us with grandchildren, but also they're serving the Lord faithfully in local churches. That's God's work. That's God's work. But there are so many times when I look around and I say, nobody really knows, because they don't. I don't blame them. I don't have anything negative about that. I just know that it's a burden God gives to the leader, to the pastor, to the shepherd. But you know what encourages? Men like Brother Dan, who come up to me and say, Pastor, I'll take care of this today if you just want me to, you just want to take care of this other thing. When he comes up to me and I look at him, I say, Dan, just sit down. I don't want to sit down. I want to help. We have a construction job going on. And he'd show up. And I'd say, Dan, you can't get up on the ladder. He says, I know, but I can tell them how to do it. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. How can God use your life to be an encouragement to others? How can your faithfulness is a blessing, and it is a great encouragement. Resolve to wait for God and to keep on working. Trust His timing. Look at verse number 31 and 32. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. It's not going to last forever. The trials are not here forever. It's a short time. Brother Dan was in the hospital. His leg was not yet amputated completely. It had been blown off. They had to take him to Austria, to Vienna, Austria, and there they took care of him after several surgeries. And for 3 months, he recuperated there in the hospital. And to him, it created something in his heart, a great appreciation to Western Europe, countries like Austria and Germany, whose expertise helped him in his time of need. But he is also a man who understands it's been God's mercy and the generosity of other nations that have helped his country as well. He's a patriot. If you try to pick on Romania, he'll get in your face. But he's also a man who loves the Lord and is grateful that we can serve the Lord together. And your faithfulness here is having an impact in Romania as well. Keep on working for Christ. Wait upon him to move, to do things in his timing. And the key is to surrender it all. Just put it all in his hands. Look at verse number 40 and 41. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. What an illustration. Let's lift up our heart with our hands to the Lord. It's one thing to say, Lord, have thine own way. Do what you want in my life. It's another thing to say, Lord, here it is. I have no plan. I don't know what to do. But my hands are connected to my heart. Whatever you do in my heart, my hands will fulfill. Whatever you move me to do, I will do. I just want you to lead me. Let's bow our heads.